I don't believe that.
Well, it's, I wish I got this handout for y'all. It's not as organized as I would like it to be, but it's got some scripture there, and that's the main thing. The word can talk to you. I don't know if it's... Am I good, Miss Lee? Am I good? Okay. Yeah, that's true. She lied, didn't she? So why do we meet on Sundays? Well, it's because everything is closed, right? No. Well, I already went through this thing about the Sabbath. I've done that teaching several times in the past. And recently, Miss Deborah handed me some literature from the Seventh-day Adventist that she wanted me to look at and critique for her, which I was very happy to do. Made lots of notes and everything, and I learned a lot from... I always like hearing from people that are in positions of authority in these cults, so I can understand where they're coming from. It was really enlightening for me to see how they came to all these different conclusions. And so the teaching there, the basic teaching there, why we don't observe the Sabbath, is that there is no New Testament commandment to do so. It is an Old Testament commandment. They always say, well, it's part of the Ten Commandments. And that's true. But if you look, all the other nine are in the New Testament. Don't cheat, don't kill, don't lie, and all that stuff. That's all commandments in the New Testament. But there is no New Testament commandment to observe the Sabbath. And as we'll see here in a second, the definition of terms is also part of the problem. But so there's no New Testament commandment to do that. And in fact, it says in Deuteronomy and in a couple of other places that observing the Sabbath is the sign of the covenant that God made with the children of Israel. So in other words, people will know that you are part of this covenant because you observe the Sabbath. Okay? So that is not part of our covenant. So it's not... If you can find a verse in the New Testament that says we should observe the Sabbath, please let me know. And I will... Yes, sir? Well, you know, it doesn't really... I don't either, but my opinion is that they probably did observe it because Genesis... Yeah, and that's a whole other thing. That's one of my future points here. So, but anyway, so it's... As far as the observing the Sabbath goes, that's not part of our deal. That's an Old Testament deal. And as Paul said many times in different ways, that is all abolished for us. The Old Testament law is... But there's a lot of good teaching there. And you will profit by observing some of those... There's 613, not just 10. 10 were in stone, but a total of 613 commandments. And so for the people that are Sabbath keepers, like Brother Kenny was talking about, well, if they really want to be true and sincere, well, they can't wear linen and wool together. They can't eat milk and they can't have a milkshake and a hamburger together, because that law gets pretty specific, and it's for the purpose of them being a peculiar people. And you can't eat any lobster or shrimp. No. So, yeah, any kind of shellfish, you know, all that stuff. I mean, the law goes into great detail. So if you're... And James 2:10 tells us if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of the whole thing. And that was the whole point, as Paul pointed out in Galatians. The whole point of the law is to show that you can't do it anyway. You need a Savior. You need somebody to pay for your sin, because there's no way that you can keep all the law all the time. And you're going to blow it at some point. In fact, Jesus' standard is even higher, because he said, even if you think it in your mind, it's the same as doing it. Like sexual sin, like hate. Said you're guilty of murder. Woo! All those people that said they hated Trump, guilty of murder according to Jesus, right? Ooh, yeah. All right, so So much for that. So why, since we don't have to meet on Saturdays or observe the Sabbath in any particular way, why do we meet on Sundays? Well, the main reason is that the resurrection was on Sunday. When we meet on Sundays, we are remembering the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The second reason that I've got down here, and see, I'm going real quick. I can go in a lot more detail. But the empowerment of the church, which was Pentecost, was on a Sunday. Pentecost always happens on a Sunday. I know there's some Jews that argue about this, but to me it's real clear, because in the Old Testament law, the word Pentecost means 50, so you count 50 days from the weekly Sabbath of Passover week. The Sabbath is the seventh day of the week. We call it Saturday. So you go 50 days from that. Well, 50 days from Saturday is 7 weeks plus one day, which is Sunday. So Pentecost happened on Sunday. So we are remembering the Holy Spirit coming down to empower the church, the New Testament church, on Sunday. Resurrection, empowerment of the church, what more do you need? But it was also a tradition of the early churches, and I came up with just two, basically, scriptures about that. In Acts chapter 20, let's turn there. Let me turn there. And verse 7, it says, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight." And this was at Troas. So this was obviously a church that was, I'm sure they had Jews, but they also had Gentiles. All right? So this is a New Testament church, and they were meeting to break bread on the first day of the week, which we call Sunday. Okay? Just about everybody agrees that the Sabbath refers to the seventh day of the week. I'll get into that in just a second, though. All right, so it was a tradition there, and then also in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2, when Paul was instructing the believers to lay up some money to give to the poor saints there in Jerusalem, and he said, "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, and there be no gatherings when I come." So the first day of the week, in order for them to... Now, I understand it's a little murky. It doesn't just come right out and say it, because just because they're laying it by doesn't mean they're going to be passing the offering plate necessarily. But that seems to be the implication here, that he wants them to take up the collection on the first day of the week, the church, not the individuals. I mean, you can lay it up whatever day of the week that you want. You know, a lot of times I'll make out my offering check on Wednesday, or once I forecast how much I'm going to make, because it's fairly predictable, I go ahead and write the check. And then if I make extra, I pay extra next week. Or I tear it up, because I'm old, my checks are free. So praise God. I can write it for 2 cents. I don't care. Anyway, so now this one here, though, it has some controversy with it. And this is where we get into the definition of terms. Because there are some Jewish believers that say, "Oh, this is talking about the Feast of Weeks." Now, Pentecost is called in the Old Testament, it's called the Feast of Weeks, because there's 7 weeks that you would, after Passover, the Sabbath of Passover, and then you offer the two loaves of bread and all the other offerings that you do. And that was the day that the church was empowered. So they say it's the first day of the weeks, meaning the first of the Sabbaths. Now you notice here that the day there is in italics, which means that it doesn't literally say that in the Greek, but the King James translators thought that that was the best meaning for us to understand it. Okay, and the reason why that is somewhat controversial is because the word week and the word Sabbath have different meanings, both in English and Hebrew and Greek. Okay, if, for example, in English, use the word beat, B-E-A-T. it has, I can think of at least three different meanings. It can mean that your team defeated the other team, they beat them. It can mean that you beat your wife to a pulp. It can mean that the music had a nice beat to it. See, three different meanings, one word. Well, week and Sabbath are the same way, and in fact, they're pretty much interchangeable. If you look it up in the Greek, let's see. All right. So, in the Old Testament, week is week. In Hebrew, is Shavua. Sabbath is Shabbat, which is, and they're related, same root, but they have a little bit different meaning. So one means week, but one means a Sabbath. And what does Sabbath mean? Well, Sabbath has several meanings. Okay, Sabbath means at the root of it is intermission or rest or holiday. In other words, a pause from the regular work day that you do. So that's the best way for us to understand it, I think. But it also means the seventh day of the week. The Shabbat is this, we call it Saturday, which is a pagan name, meaning Saturn's day, which is Saturn's the Antichrist, but that's a whole other thing. So it's all from the Catholic thing, the Romans and all that. But nevertheless, we call it Saturday. It is the seventh day of the week. Okay. So, and it also sometimes means the seventh. So it can either mean the seventh day of the week, or it can mean week. And a week is a time period of seven somethings, commonly 7 days. But if you go to Daniel's prophecy in Daniel chapter 9, the 70 weeks of Daniel is talking about weeks of years. Okay, so it can either mean the seventh day of the week, or it can mean the time period of 7 days, a week. Or it can mean a special day of the week. And it also can mean the interval between Sabbaths. It's complicated, what I'm saying. So that's why you have to go to the context, which the King James translators did, and I believe they got it right for our understanding, that it wasn't the first week of the counting of the week. They call it the counting of the Omer in Hebrew, the Feast of Weeks. It wasn't that. It was the first day of the week. Okay? And if you... And I got on the internet and I looked at it, and man, there's everything in the world out there. I mean, these guys get really technical. But I think that one guy, he had it right, which is just what I just explained to you. Okay. So if you take it into context, that's the key. So, and the Greek word is sabbaton. And sabbaton, it can mean week, or it can mean Sabbath. See, so they're kind of interchangeable. All right, so all this boils down to say that the evidence here that we have is that the early church believers were meeting on Sundays. And we know that he was crucified was resurrected on a Sunday, and that the church was empowered by the Holy Spirit on a Sunday. So we have lots of good reasons. There's three good reasons for meeting on Sunday. Having said that, we are not under the law. And there is no New Testament commandment to meet on Sunday either. It's just a tradition that they did. But it doesn't tell us that we have to. And in fact, if you go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 46... This is right after Pentecost happened, and all the excitement. Man, just imagine if you were there and saw that the Holy Spirit did and witnessed that. And then 3,000 got saved right away, and then thousands more right after that. And they were meeting every day. See? So we have liberty as New Testament Christians. We don't have to meet on any particular day of the week. And we don't have to observe the Sabbath, but it's a good idea to observe the principle of the Sabbath, the intermission, the rest from the worldly pursuits, and just chill. And that's why he gave it to the Jews to begin with. Look, I worked 6 days to create the universe, and then I rested, and so that's a lesson for you how you should live your life as well. Just pause and reflect on the glory of God and His creation and His goodness and all this and His Word and all this stuff. So it's a great practice to do, to have a pause at least one day a week. But here they were meeting every day because they were fired up and ready to go. And we even do that occasionally when we have revival meetings or whatever, special meetings, when we're meeting every day. And some of us, see, I come down here on Tuesday night. I come down here on Wednesday night. I come down here on Friday night. And I come down here Sunday and Sunday night to share the Word of God or receive the Word of God, as the case may be. I'm meeting with the brethren. And so, and I have liberty to do that. I'm not confined to one day of the week. And I could go 7 days a week if I wanted to, because the Lord gives me liberty. And so the point is not to get hung up on, because then you start getting this legalistic thing and you're missing the whole point, which is what he talks about there in, well, let's see, let's go to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 16. Colossians 2 and verse 16 says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days." See, there's more than one Sabbath day. There's, and the, in Old Testament Israel, they had more than one Sabbath day. They had the regular weekly Sabbath, but the Feast of Unleavened Bread was a high Sabbath. It was even higher than the weekly Sabbath. It was extremely holy. They did it again at the Day of Atonement. That's always a high Sabbath on the Jewish calendar. All seven of the feasts are Sabbaths, special Sabbath. No matter what day of the week they fall on. So the Lord told them to enjoy these Sabbaths, not because they were the seventh day of the week, but because they were a special day to remember something. Okay, and so what we're doing when we're meeting on Sunday is we're remembering that the special day of days, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, what compares to that? And so you can see why, since that had just happened in the early church, you can see why they were so excited. I was sharing with the Wrights there last night about going through the book of John there, and now, he explained to them over and over again, "I'm going to Jerusalem and they're going to kill me. I'm going to leave you, but I'm going to come back." And they're like, "Huh? What?" But then when it actually happened, and he even told them, he said, "When I leave, the Comforter's going to come and he'll bring into remembrance all these things that I told you and give you understanding as well." And so, they got fired up, because then they got it. They understood it. And so when they were super excited. Now, it was 2,000 years ago for us. But the event is still just as exciting as it was the day it happened. I mean, just imagine. And so we can and should be just as fired up and as excited as they were. They were privileged to witness it. But God, Jesus said that we're more blessed than they are, because we're receiving it all by faith. And he even prayed there in John chapter 17. He prayed for his followers directly to God. But he said not only for them, but all those that receive their word. And that's what we got. We got their word. John wrote it down. And that's how I got saved. That's what I was telling you. That's how I got saved. I didn't hear preaching. I read, and it was probably the book of John. I know it was somewhere in the four Gospels when the light went on for me. And I realized, man, he didn't die because those people were mean. I mean, they were mean, but he chose to do that because he loved me. Wow. Man, now that's exciting. And so I'm blessed because I got saved by faith. I didn't have to see him die and get resurrected. But I have, by faith, I am totally confident that that happened. And I'm totally confident that he's going to come get me. And he's going to be glory. You think I shout now, man? You probably won't want to be around me. But it, I mean, we have every reason to be excited every day of the week. Okay, and then the follow-up verse there is Romans chapter 14. The follow-up verse to Colossians 2, back a few pages there. when he basically, Paul's trying to help us to not become so legalistic and to give people grace, because we have liberty. We're not bound by that law. Praise God, we're not. In chapter 14, verse 5, he says, "One man esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regards the day regards it unto the Lord. And he that regards not the day to the Lord, he does not regard it. He that eats, eats to the Lord. And for he gives God thanks. And he that eats not to the Lord, he eats not and gives God thanks." And so, you know, if you want to meet on Saturday, more power to you. And I know there are some Messianic Jewish Christian congregations that do that because they're still in that transition. I don't know what the reasoning is, but there's nothing wrong with it. They don't have to, but they choose to. And maybe it's as an outreach like Paul did. See, he caught the point. He drove it home strong. That we're not under the law. We don't have to be circumcised. We don't have to do all this stuff. He was trying to tell the Jews that in Galatians. But yet, he himself went and took part in the feast in Jerusalem, knowing that he wasn't under the law anymore. But he did it because he wanted to be an outreach to the Jewish unbelievers. Didn't want to offend them. And that's the principle there in Romans chapter 14. But if you don't do it, if it's an offense to somebody, well, don't do it. So we don't meet on Sundays to be offensive, but we do it because we're remembering the resurrection and how much God has given us, and what a blessing that is. So we don't want to be legalistic, and as Judy pointed out, you know, these Sabbath keepers, these present day Christians that are Sabbath keepers, the Jews didn't go anywhere on the Sabbath. Unless they lived right there next to the temple, they didn't go to the temple because it says there somewhere in Acts that the Mount of Olives was a Sabbath day's journey from Jerusalem, meaning the temple, I presume. Just the Mount of Olives. I mean, it's just right across the valley. I mean, you can see it from the temple. And Bethany was further where Jesus came from when he rode the donkey. It was further than a Sabbath day's journey. So nowadays here in America, we have such a big country, people, you know, that these people here, they come all the way from Delaney, 14 miles. I've clocked it, maybe give or take 14 miles. You know, that's way more than a Sabbath day's journey. So if you're going to observe the Sabbath, you can't go to church unless you live right next door to it, hardly, kind of. Because otherwise you're breaking the law. If you want to keep the law, you got to keep the law. Okay. So we have liberty. We don't have to do all that. We don't have to worry about it. We need to be led by the Spirit. And if the Spirit's leading you to drive 100 miles to go to church, do it. Doesn't matter. Because we all have liberty. So now there's some interesting other things that go with this. I probably don't have it down. Oh yeah, I do. So it fills the picture of first fruits. See, there you've got those seven Jewish feasts: three in the spring, one in the summer, and three in the fall. The first three are all right together in the same week. Passover, number one. That's a picture of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Happened on the exact day that they were killing the lambs. Then that was immediately followed by the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which lasts 7 days, where they weren't allowed to eat unleavened bread. And the first and the seventh day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread are Sabbaths. Okay? High Sabbaths. And then that was followed by the morrow after the weekly Sabbath of the Passover week, first fruits. First fruits, they would take the barley, happening in the springtime, they take a sheaf of barley that had the seed heads in it and wave it for a wave offering, asking the Lord to bless the crop and to bless the nation of Israel. But that was only a minor part of the meaning of it. It was all a picture of Jesus Christ. He is the first fruit. The Bible, and it says that in 1 Corinthians 15. He is the first of many to be resurrected. He was the first one that died and was resurrected with a resurrected body. Lazarus and the others, they didn't have a resurrected body, okay? Because Jesus was the first, all right? That's what the scripture says. So he is the first of many, so he's fulfilling that. And that day always happens on a Sunday. Boom, another reason. And the same with the Pentecost. It fulfills the type and the picture, because they have both unleavened bread and leavened bread, which is highly unusual to offer leavened bread for a sacrifice. But on Pentecost, they do that. And to me, I'm sure that there's a whole lot more teaching to it that I don't know, but it is a picture. The leavened bread is a picture of Gentiles joining the Jews, coming together, which is what happened on the day of Pentecost. The New Testament church was empowered, and right after that, Gentiles started joining in like crazy. And here now we're mostly Gentiles. So anyway, all this is fulfilling it in type. And then, if you take the meaning of the word Sabbath to mean the seventh day, well, Saturday was the seventh day. And seven in numerology, biblical numerology, represents the day or the number of completion, or divine completion, if you will. And so on the seventh day of that particular week, Jesus' work was done. He was crucified. He was in the tomb. And Saturday was the last day, and I believe night, that he was in the tomb. So his work was complete. It was over. And so then the number eight is the number of new beginnings. So it's perfect. You see, he started over. The law was abolished. The Old Testament is over with. He's starting with a new testament, beginning on that day, because he had to wait till he got resurrected to finish his work. Once that was done, start over. And so here we are, starting over. And there's lots of good lessons there for us as New Testament Christians as well, coming, meeting on Sunday, because all the stuff, the garbage and baggage that we collected throughout the week, we can be refreshed. We can start over, hearing the Word of God, fellowshipping with, being encouraged with the fellowship and the singing. And I get so encouraged with the singing, because it just draws me close to God and helps me to remember all those things that I was getting bogged down with throughout the week. I can start over. Praise God. So there's so much symbology involved in favor of meeting on Sundays. Which is not to say you can't meet every other day as well. But there's great meaning there to meeting on Sunday. All right, so let's go to Hebrews chapter 8. In verse 5 it says, well, let's start verse 4. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. So the tabernacle that Moses had made was just a picture of the real tabernacle in heaven. There is a real tabernacle in heaven. And so this one here is just a picture of it. And so all these meeting on Sunday makes for a picture of the real thing, because the Bible tells us that Jesus is the Sabbath rest in Hebrews and other places. He is the rest. Enter into his rest. Get saved. Quit striving in your own works, and by faith yield unto him. That's what it's all about. And so all this is a picture of Jesus the Sabbath. In chapter 10 also, in verse 1, it says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect." Only Christ can make you perfect. And see, I had this discussion today with a person who goes to a Campbellite church, Church of Christ they call it. And they believe in baptismal regeneration. And he didn't have that upbringing. So I asked him, you know, why do you go to a church like that? I asked him, first of all, do you believe that? And he said, well, not exactly, you know, because the way they put it is, you get saved by believing, but it's not completed until you get baptized in water. That's the completion. I asked him, and he said, no, I don't really believe that. And I said, well, why do you go to a church like that? And so they're trying to keep the law. And see, baptism is a shadow. Water baptism is a shadow of the real thing. What was the real thing? Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection. It's a picture. When you get baptized, that's a picture of his death, burial, and resurrection. And looking towards the future, it's a picture of your future as well. But you haven't died yet. And like I told him, you know, I think it's probably the favorite verse is Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. But in Hebrews it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And so when you get baptized in water, you're not shedding any blood. So how could that mean that getting baptized remits your sins? It's impossible. No, it's a picture of Jesus shedding his blood for your sins. And if you put your trust in him, that's why it said repent. If you put your trust in him, then your sins are remitted. But water baptism is just a picture of that. So we got his work is completed. Then we go to a new beginning. So we got three good reasons. Jesus was resurrected on Sunday. The church was empowered on Sunday. There is scriptural evidence, however scant it may be, that they had this tradition of meeting on Sundays. And besides all that, we have liberty. We can meet any day of the week. But Sunday's a good time to meet because we're remembering the resurrection. Time left over.